last week we considered how we came to be in the family of God. We saw that we were born of God, and we saw that we were adopted by God. He gave us His nature by birth, and He gave us our rights as His children, as His sons by adoption. The Apostle Paul, Ephesians 3:15, speaks of the whole family of God in heaven and earth. How does it feel to belong to such a grand and illustrious family as the family of God? Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever thought not only of as your father, but of all of your siblings in the gospel, the world over, the ages of time, to belong to the family of God in heaven and on earth? Tonight, I would like for us to consider what family life is like in this family of God. Who do we have in this family? And you'll see that we have some three or four generations in this family of God. Turn with me to the second chapter of 1 John. The second chapter of 1 John, and we'll read from verse 12. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I am writing unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I'm writing unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I'm writing unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Fathers, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world, because we are not of the world, we are in the family of God. In some of the newer versions of the Bible, perhaps you're using some, as New King James does, I believe, these lines are set in something like poetic lines. Not poetry like we know, but in separate lines like aphorisms, very much like, echoing very much like Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And the repetition is in keeping with that, repetition to fix in our mind what He is saying. But I would like for us, rather than to just consider the repetition, to consider the persons, the characters, if you will, in this family of God. First, he says, I am writing unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. He has in this list little children and children and young men and fathers. And these terms are meant to be generic, ladies, so you're included also. But he said here, I'm writing unto you little children. And the word that John used here means little children, preschoolers. That's what it normally means, but it is also used as a diminutive, and it could be used for any one. Tradition says that when the Apostle John was very elderly, that he used to come to the meetings and he would say, "Little children, love one another," speaking to the whole of the group. It was a term of endearment, and yet it was a term meaning toddlers up to school age. Little children, he addresses them, he's writing unto them, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. They know their sins are forgiven. Now he's taking situations from our earthly life to instill spiritual truth. He is not necessarily writing to the specific age groups in the congregation that this letter went to. He is using the specific age groups in the congregation to teach a spiritual truth. But little children can, and our little children do, know that their sins are forgiven. And at a very young age, they can come to know this truth. Our children, at a very young age, came to know the Lord. And many of you, some of these little children here, already know their sins are forgiven. They know Jesus is in their heart. And they're not bashful to say so. And this is the why he is writing unto these, and it's a commendation. They know their sins are forgiven. And the next one that he writes to, in order of age, is in verse 14. In verse 14. I have written unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. Actually, in the Greek, this does not say little children like in the first word. The first word for little children, as I said, was preschoolers. The word that John used in verse 14 is a completely different word. It is children. Doesn't say little children, it's just children. And if you have one of the more contemporary versions of the Bible, you'll see that the little is left off here. It's a completely different word, and it means school children, primarily. It means people and persons under authority and instruction. School children, I'm written unto you, children, because you have known the Father. And this shows a degree of maturity as we grow in this life. And our children here are school children who have come regularly to our Sunday school. I challenge you to ask them to turn to a book in the Bible and hand it to them, and they can't turn to it. They have learned some things about their Father. They know who their Father is, and they know Him, they know about Him. And the next that he addresses to is in verse 13. I write unto you, young men, because you have, I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Now, this word, young men, is also special age-related word. And it is a person between, say, 15 and 25, as they used it in John's day, and as they still do in Greece. It has a word that has to do with the maturity of physical strength, the athletic age. Have you ever noticed how short a professional athletic career is? And ever wondered why that is? Because in this life, we reach a peak of physical strength somewhere in that decade, 15 to 25. And also, psychologists tell us that the brain reaches its maturity about age 25. That's why your auto insurance companies give you a break when you reach the age of 25. So characteristic meaning of this word in young men here is strength. It's derived from the Greek word strength, and it means those who are strong. And then he's writing unto fathers here. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. And then there is the spiritual application to this. There is nothing that brings excitement and activity to a home like small children, is there? There's nothing that brings life more to a home or to a family than small children. And they're delightful to be around and to have around. And just as little children enliven a home, so do new young Christians enliven and bring life to any Christian fellowship or congregation. And this church that has new Christians is a church that will remain alive and active. New Christians, just like little children, they don't yet know very much about their about doctrine or about the fine things of the Bible that they will be learning, but they do have the assurance that their sins are forgiven. And that's wonderful. But it's sad that there are so many Christians who remain in that state of knowledge. All they know is that their sins are forgiven. Try to talk to them about things in the Bible, and they just can't comprehend it. They haven't either heard or comprehended the truth of the Bible. Now, that is very normal for new Christians, but Paul lamented, and in the book of Hebrews it was lamented about Christians who were still as little children after many years. That is sad in this life. That is sad in the church, in the spiritual life. But it is a blessing to know that your sins are forgiven. And the word here that John used, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. This word, this verb here, are forgiven, in the Greek in which John was writing, he wrote very simple Greek, but he wrote very profound thoughts with that simple Greek. Oftentimes, simple words can be far more effective than flowery words. But the word here, are forgiven, is in the perfect tense in the Greek, which means something happened in the past, and the effects continue in the present. So what John is commending them here is their sins are permanently forgiven. There is no question, they are permanently and forever forgiven. And when they come to comprehend that, new believers are on their way to spiritual growth. And then the next children, school children, spiritually, we can have seen people who became so taken up with the scriptures, so taken up with the Bible, so taken up with the Christian fellowship, that they were very zealous for it, learning the Word of God. And that is a joy to behold. It is a joy to have this stage of spiritual development in a person. They have come to know their Father. They know who their Father is. They know what their Father is like. And they want to be like their Father. They want to be with Him. They have come to know who He is and what He is. That's the second children in the text there. And there are Christians who are like that, a further stage of development. As school children, learning the lessons of the spiritual life. And then coming to the young men, he said he is writing unto the young men because they have overcome the wicked one. Now, John elsewhere in this letter says, who is he that has overcome the world, but he that believeth on Jesus is the Son of God? They have overcome the world, because everything in this world is to keep you in its grasp. And when you come to believe in Jesus and you come to know Him, you have overcome the world. But that's the start. Then we, like in this life, encounter difficulties. We encounter obstacles. We encounter things that would hinder us and things that would discourage us. But these young men, they have overcome the wicked one. They have overcome the devil. And they have some victories behind them. I mentioned once before, but it was so sad to me many years ago, when I greeted a brother and I said, how are you? And he says, oh, the devil's been kicking me around all week. Well, if we let the devil kick us around, he's going to kick us around. And if we let him use the disappointments of life, and if we let him use the discouragements of life, he will use them. But these, in this stage of spiritual development, they have overcome the wicked one. And also, he says of them, that I write and have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you. These young men are at the stage of the peak of strength, in spiritually speaking, and they have learned their lessons in school well, and they have overcome the wicked one, and they are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. This is a fine stage of life, to, spiritually speaking, to know what the Christian life is all about, to understand not just who your Father is, not to understand just what the trials and the problems of life are all about, and to have some successes in victories over the devil. It is a stage of spiritual development. And then we come to the last. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. That harks us back to the first chapter of this first letter of John. The first chapter in the first verse, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. That which was from the beginning, or a better translation of that is, and some modern translations have put it this way, that who was from that who, which was from the beginning. For he is describing a person here, which we have heard. John physically heard Jesus, which we have seen with our eyes. He physically beheld him in those years that he followed him. And we have looked upon. That word looked upon means to critically examine, to carefully consider, till we come to a perception of. We have looked upon, and our hands have handled. They embraced him. They were with him. And he was describing them to him of the word of life. The word of life is a person. He is that which was from the beginning. Before the beginning of time, he was with the Father. And these fathers have come to know him. That is the same word and the same tense as Paul used when he said, that I may come to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. It is a process of learning by association. It is not a process of learning by study. It's a process of association and of a relationship. You don't come to know a person you meet when you first meet him. You don't come to know a person well after several encounters. It is only by an association over time that we come to know anyone. And that's what he is saying here. These fathers have come to know him that is from the beginning. And in verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Again, he repeats that. They know their father's mind. They know him. Just and they come to know Jesus, like Paul said. It's a knowledge that comes from experience coupled with the word, knowing the word of God. So here we have the stages of life set before us, and we see that each stage of life is beautiful in its time. And every stage of Christian development is beautiful in its time. And it is a joy to see people maturing in the faith and coming to know the Word of God and to come to know by experience who God is, who Jesus is, that one which was from the beginning. The fathers have come to know Him that is from the beginning, Jesus. Just as little children they came to know who their Father is, they come to know Jesus intimately. And here we have these four stages of spiritual life before us. They are, we might say, a test that we can apply to ourselves and say, in what stage of the spiritual life am I? And what stage do I want to become? And how logically should I grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and of our Father? So it is something for us each to test our own life and to see where we fit in spiritually. And there is always hope for all of us. Don't be discouraged. You know, when you're a child, 10 years ahead of you is an eternity. When you reach my age, it's yesterday. But in Peter, 2 Peter, he says that we should, and I'm sorry I failed to write down the scripture, that we should grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is always opportunity for us to learn. There is always opportunity for us to grow. There is always opportunities for us to take a hold of in the Christian life, to come to know Jesus and to come to know our Father better. Let's take advantage of it.